Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Up the Poshcast. We have a new manager. Luke Williams is now in charge of the Posh, and we've put together this special episode to hopefully find out a bit more about him. I'm Lods, and I was joined by Tom, the Notts County fan, and Carwin, the Swansea fan, to chat about Luke Williams' time at their respective clubs. I was then later joined by John, and we discussed the positives and some negatives surrounding Luke Williams and how we feel the players might suit his system. I'm not going to keep you any longer. Let's just get straight into it. Right, first up, we're joined by Tom, the Notts County fan. Hello, Tom.
Hi, mate. How are you doing?
Good, thank you. Thank you for joining us. Right, so we're talking Luke Williams today, and I'm sure you have lots of fond memories of Luke Williams. Can you go back to when he first took over and try and remember how you felt when he got the job initially?
Yeah, I mean, when he took over at Notts, we had him on our podcast. I think he'd been manager like a week, and I wasn't convinced at all. He seemed, I don't know, not nervous, but like I wasn't sure about him. I didn't get an instant feeling, and within sort of a month, that completely changed. His interviews were incredible. He'd have, you know, talk about players running through a brick wall for him. Fans were just bought into it instantly. So yeah, from us, he was the long term, fantastic, but it didn't take long for him to integrate and become like a fan favourite, probably before the season had even started. And I think we started the season with a 3-0 win anyway at home. So like that was that, all the positive preseason was backed up. But yeah, when he first came in, I wasn't sure. Didn't have a fantastic record. I think he was at Swindon. But yeah, he very, very quickly got all fans on side.
Was it clear from day one what kind of football he wanted to play? He'd obviously been working with Russell Martin, who was well known for his possession-based system. Did he come in and basically say he wants to emulate that?
Pretty much. That's he got us promoted and then he stayed until around New Year when he left to go to Swansea. And the football never changed at all. I think that the famous thing is Adam Summerton, the commentator at the time that was doing the National League playoffs, kind of praised us because we were losing in the playoff semi-final and we continued to pass the ball around at the back, side to side, working opening in like the last seconds of normal time when we got the equaliser. And amongst Notts fans, it's kind of famous because we never lumped the ball in the box. We just carried on playing the way we did. And then we finally put the ball in a good area and got a goal. So yeah, I don't think he'll ever change the way he plays. I didn't keep an eye too much on how he was at Swansea, but at Notts, complete, you know, possession-based, short corners, pass it left to right, wait for an opening, get it to the byline and then cut it back. That was all we saw from him for a year and a half.
And that first season that he had with you guys was just completely dominant. I think had it not been for Wrexham being in the same league as you, you would have smashed all the records and probably wrapped the league up by March. How much of that was down to him and his system?
A lot of it. I mean, it was the best season I can remember, but it was kind of spoiled by Wrexham being in there. Because if you just literally romped the league, it would have been so good. We were battering teams every week, but Wrexham, you could never really enjoy it. But no, he got us our longest ever unbeaten streak. He got us, I think, his most goals scored in a season. He had some great players at his disposal. I think the season before, Macaulay Langstaff had scored sort of 25, 26 for Gateshead. Comes in and scores 42 for us. And yes, that's because he's a great player. And I know he's not cutting it at Millwall at the minute. I think it was the wrong club to go to. And he kind of jumped at the first opportunity to go to a championship club because you would at the age of 27, 28. But loads of that was down to Luke Williams, the chances he created. And it seems like I'm just exaggerating. And I know strikers can score a lot of goals, but under the Luke Williams system, if he gets a good striker, Langstaff could have genuinely hit 50, 55, 60 goals. He had that many opportunities. Sometimes in a game, you know, I remember going away to Wales, I think we're 5-0 up at half time. So when it clicks, it really clicks. But we'd had a manager and a similar system before. Our owners like to stick to one system. Same formation we've had for 5 years. But with Williams, it clicked and it was down to him. It wasn't down to sort of the recruitment. Yes, recruitment was decent, but you still have to make it work. And I think that was all down to him.
Yeah, that's handy you say that about the striker, because we've got Harry Leonard, who we've just spent near enough £1 million on, who hasn't scored in his first seven games. So if Luke Williams can play a similar style of football and get him lots of chances, then that's obviously a positive thing for us.
Yeah.
You mentioned the formation there. I believe you played three at the back, didn't he, at Notts County? How did the midfield work and the strikers, and sort of like what were the important roles in that system?
The most important roles by mile were the two wing backs. So we had Aaron Naman, who is now at MK Dons, lightning fast. And it was always play around, wait for an opening. And then you would, a lot of the time, I would say probably genuinely, I know it doesn't sound a lot, but you know, sort of one in five goals might have come this way. Our wing backs would play a ball to the central midfielders, and the central midfielder would play a ball between the fullback and the centre back, set the wing back on the way, they'll cut the ball back, and we would just tap it in pretty much every time. If you watch the highlights of our goals from that time, or you even watch Langstaff's got some highlights from there, a lot of the goals are like that. Central midfielders are purely there for possession. We didn't really... the National League, we weren't tested in terms of teams were so poor. I mean, there were still a couple of part-time teams in there as well. And I'm not, no disrespect to them, but we were never tested. When we went up to League Two and the midfielders didn't just keep possession, their job was to try and maybe win the ball back. It didn't work. And you quickly saw that, I mean, I was very vocal on our channel that things needed to change. I wasn't necessarily saying the manager, but we were getting swamped in midfield. Our centre-backs ended up not being good enough. So in the National League, our centre-backs could carry the ball to 30 yards out before they were challenged. When it happened in League Two, we were dispossessed and the other teams would score. So it very much relies on how good your players are. But yeah, very, very important are the wing backs and your striker. If you've got a striker that can score, you're laughing, really. Sometimes we just play two up front. Sometimes we did just play one up front. But I think we did sometimes play with those tens, but it was in the end, it was dictated by the players we signed. We signed Jody Jones off an injury and he ended up playing wing back. And because he was so good at wing back, I mean, he had two ACL injuries and I think he played one game in 900 days. So when he came to Notts, it was like, how have we signed him? So in the end, the end of the season was dictated by just playing it out wide and they didn't really get it behind the strikers. It also helped the centre mids we had. One of them was John Bostock, who just come down from like League One. The centre mids, I mean, I'm not clued up necessarily too much on your side, but they've got to be a pretty high quality, because it went kind of wrong for us. It was starting to go wrong in League Two. But yeah, very possession-based football, heavily played on the wings, loads of crosses, but not for crosses for crosses' sake. They were always cut back from the byline. Yeah, not too many memories of too much creativity in the middle of the park, though.
And what did you have, sort of like, was there defensive issues with the way he played? Like you mentioned there about being dispossessed when you got into League Two. How bad was it? Like, how worried could we be about being susceptible on the counter-attack and that sort of thing?
Massively, massively, massively concerned. But I think from what I've seen, he kind of learned a little bit when he was at Swansea and it wasn't anywhere near as bad. In the National League, it happened all the time. But the players just weren't good enough for it to work. So we played Altrincham at home, for example. One of our centre-backs we're passing it around. They stole the ball, pretty much open goal. They hit the bar. And this was early on in the game. By half-time, we're 3-0 up, so it didn't matter. League Two, we were getting destroyed. Absolutely destroyed. His last game was Tranmere at home. Tranmere away. We lost 4-2. We should have conceded 7 or 8. It was an absolute massacre. We ended up, I know we changed him in just after New Year. We ended up conceding 86 goals that season. And basically when Stuart Maynard came in, who's now left, got us to the playoffs last year, but he took over from Luke Williams. He basically couldn't stop it for the rest of the season. It was like it was ingrained in the players. We made so many errors. I think Shrewsbury at home in the FA Cup, if you get a chance to watch the highlights of that, it was an absolute calamity. We were really, really poor, and it was happening not every couple of weeks. It was sometimes happening two or three times in one game. So again, it relies on your players being really good, because when we were in National League, our players were far superior, and you know, when they made the mistakes, they weren't punished. But it depends how your players are playing out from the back. Saying that, he might have changed his ways a little bit.
And I think you guys were fifth, weren't you, when he left for the Swansea job? And then you ended up finishing 14th, was it? Was that because he left, do you think, or do you think it was going to go that way anyway?
No, it was definitely going that way. It was unsustainable. If you look at the end of his time at Notts, it just wasn't... Things were starting to unravel a little bit. And I felt like, and George, who does the podcast as well, we were talking sort of every Thursday in the build-up to it, that things were just getting worse and worse. And he couldn't seem to sort it out. I don't know if by the Tranmere game when we lost 4-2 and he left, it kind of looked like he'd given up at that point and he knew he was going. But there's no way we would have sustained a playoff place under him. Absolutely no way. But saying that, we still scored 84 goals that season and we were still winning games by scoring a lot of goals. So there's positives as well. It's all on quality, and that's all that I can really say about that. Because I don't know too much about your side, where the quality lies. I feel like you, from an outsider's point of view, you might be in sort of a false position. I think there's quite a few worse teams than you, which is a good thing. If he was coming into a side that was, you know, terrible and had no hope, I would think it would be a really poor appointment. Okay. I don't feel like you like that. You're not quite that poor.
The thing is, we've obviously just parted with Darren Ferguson, who's tried to play a similar way, but his emphasis is more on speed of the attack rather than passing around for passing sake. So we should, in theory, have a lot of technical players, but we are hiring Luke Williams for the future, I think, with the view of getting us promoted at some point in the next two or three seasons. So I think we'll probably need a big overhaul to manage that.
One thing I would say, and I've said it on our channel a lot, and I say the same with our manager now, we've got Martin Patterson, who, well, saved Burton from relegation, but actually he joined when they were 19th and they finished 20th, so I can't really say save them. I always draw comparisons with him and Luke Williams. They're both, in a different way, very, very, very intense. Luke Williams, there's a famous video between Notts fans when we got promoted at Wembley in the playoffs, and he was sort of shouting towards all the players, you know, celebrating, saying like 11v11s, no more team meetings, no more. And he was like saying all these things they did all season that were insanely difficult, like there's no more over summer, like you've got a break kind of thing. And this is something I've said loads. I don't see him as a manager that is sustainable over 2 or 3 years. I think he's just too intense. I think these methods are so intense. We were like running to the ground as well. And I think he's like brilliant in short stints and could do a lot for teams. I don't think his personality, I might be wrong, is sustainable over 2-3 years.
And finally, what is he like as a person? You mentioned there about him being quite intense, but does he get all the fans on board? Does he get all the players on board? Is he just a likable guy in general?
Yeah. Oh, amazing. He celebrated out with the fans in Nottingham. There's a video of him on an e-scooter riding around Nottingham after celebrating. There's flocks of fans following him. I mean, he's a very, very nice guy. Always got time for people. We did fans forums at Notts. Not sure if that's a thing at you guys, but like he would have everyone's attention. He was such a great manager, such a great person in interviews. You'll see if he is appointed that, you know, the interviews he gives, you can't wait for the next match day. So motivation wise, incredible. From what we've heard from players whilst he was in charge and since he's left, they're basically saying he's the best manager they've ever had. He gave Notts their best season of my lifetime, which, you know, it's not hard being a Notts fan, but it was an incredible season. Great, great person, great man manager, great motivator. If he gets things going, he'd be kind of, you know, it becomes like, it sort of snowballs in something very, very, very good. I just don't think it quite happened at Swansea.
Okay. Lovely. Thank you for coming on, Tom, and chatting Luke Williams to us. If people did want to hear more from Notts County, where can they find you?
Yeah. So we're on YouTube and on Spotify. We do a podcast every single Thursday. half past seven, and we also do match day vlogs and match reactions as well after midweek and weekend fixtures.
And that's Notts County Talk.
It is, yeah.
Lovely. And every guest we have on, you have to sign off the episode with an Up the Poshcast. So I'll go first, and then if you don't mind just following on, Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
We're now joined by Carwin from Only Swans. Carwin is a Swansea City fan. Hello, Carwin.
Hello.
Right, so Luke Williams, I suppose with his journey at Swansea, it started back when he was assistant manager to Russell Martin in his first season. When you appointed Luke Williams, did you have that in mind, like the school of Russell Martin, or was it more the work he did at Notts County that you were sort of feeling about?
I think it was a bit of both. I mean, like, obviously we already knew who he was because, you know, when he was our assistant manager, he was quite a different character. I just remember him screaming on the sidelines all game. But he brought excitement. I think every fan was pretty excited about the appointment because he was very highly rated in the EFL at that time. Obviously his Notts County team played a really good brand of football, competed with that Wrexham team the whole way in the conference and only lost by what, like 2 points. They would have been the other record holders for points in the league. So I think it was a real feeling of excitement. I think it's a mix between the Russell Martin stuff and the fact that he was a really high rated coach.
And when he came in, I think you guys were 18th in the league, weren't you? And you ended up finishing the season 14th, which doesn't seem like a big jump up. But did you guys at the time think that was successful? I know Michael Duff made 14 transfers, didn't he, in between Martin and Williams coming in?
I'd argue it was pretty successful. I mean, we had a pretty torrid time under Michael Duff. All the stuff that happened under him were pretty crazy. We also had an awful sporting director at the time. So most of those signings we made, those 14 signings, were truly terrible. They didn't fit the club at all in general. They didn't fit Williams' system when he came in. A lot of them were pretty much axed from the off. I'd say we were pretty happy with that. And to be honest, it was sort of we'll move on to next season now. We've been through the rough with Duff, and he will transition us from this season to hopefully higher up the table.
And what formation did he play? Because I think he was more of a five back at Notts County, or a three back, but I think he was more four with you guys, was he, at the back?
Yeah. So he always stuck to a 4-2-3-1 with us. I actually checked this earlier.
And sort of like, what roles were the important ones in his system in terms of like your build-up play?
So the wing-backs always pushed high. He did test out inverting them for a while, but it didn't last. I don't think we had sort of the technicality at wing-back to be doing that. We have very fast wing-backs who are still our wing-backs now, Timon and Josh Key. So they push very high. Grimes was, you know, the main player in that team. He would obviously drop in to collect the ball. It sort of is, yeah, I've never seen another player do it the way he does, from two ball-playing centre-backs. The ball would never go long from the back. The Grimes role sort of takes more risks, and then alongside him, he usually has somebody who's really good out of possession, somebody who can, you know, win the ball, be a bit more risky on the press. Maybe you look at Jay Fulton, or we have Goncalo Franco now, who is also here under Williams for a little bit, and I'd argue he's one of the best out of possession players in the EFL. He really identified the need for pacey wingers in our squad as well. We lacked pace in our squad for years. And instantly when he came in, we signed Plachetta and Ronald to just lightning quick wingers. And then we didn't really have an out-and-out striker whilst he was here, but based on Langstaff and, you know, Vopotnik now, he didn't really show much whilst Williams was here because he hadn't had a pre-season. But I'd suggest he likes a striker who can sort of put themselves about a bit and just be a physical nuisance in the box.
And the wingers, I suppose, were they like more inside forwards? The wing backs were wide, they sort of tucked in, cut inside.
It was kind of weird because I suppose in a way they were, but I think when the fullbacks were pushing high, I think they only sort of pushed to a limit where, you know, as I said, they did try invert in for a period, so there was that. But usually they were just offering up to the wingers who would sit, you know, very high. Their whole job was to sort of attack as wide as possible. We, like, Ronald was and still is very much a touchline winger.
And what the style of football he plays, would you say it's more attacking or more possession-based? Because obviously Russell Martin is known for passing around, but if you look at the stats and sort of his history, you'd assume Luke Williams is more attacking, faster-tempoed?
Yeah, I'd say he was definitely faster-tempoed. He sort of struggles at times, or he did at us anyway. It was sort of a mix, whether that was down to the calibre of player we had, the fact that a lot of the players were from Duff's regime who didn't play that way. But, you know, there was a period in October where we didn't score a goal for a whole month. So I couldn't argue that we were purely attacking. But at the same time, I do think there was maybe a bit of a personnel issue. And there were plenty of games where we completely dominated, played great football and beat teams 2-3, 4-0.
And defensively, how susceptible on the counter-attack were you? And did you have your flaws in the system defensively?
Yeah, absolutely. I think playing the way Williams does and the way Martin did before him, you know, there's always going to be sort of defensive issues, I'd say. With the fullbacks pushing high, obviously, it made us very susceptible to counter-attacks. We weren't fantastic at transitioning. I think Luke Williams is a manager who kind of likes high press, but I think we were pretty flat intensity wise, so it didn't help. You know, he doesn't like non-aggressive pressers, so Jerry Yates and Jamal Lowe, two who were here when he came in, were axed pretty much instantly because they weren't as good at pressing. He liked Florian Bianchini up top in his final season with us because he was fast and he would just run. He certainly wasn't a striker, wasn't a good finisher at all. He's a winger and he's barely a winger. But and that's probably being charitable. But, you know, he was fast and would just run, so he liked that. We had some of the best pressing stats in the league too. But, yeah, I'd say we were always open to being counter-attacked.
Would you say that the pressing was sort of so intense that the squad needed, like, a level of fitness to be able to maintain that?
Yeah, in a way. I think playing this style of play, you always need a level of fitness because you are keeping the ball for the majority of the game, which, you know, would suggest usually that, you know, you tire the other team out and then you go batter them. That's always the plan. But in the EFL, it doesn't quite pan out that way because a lot of teams are just willing to sort of sit 11 men behind the ball and wait for you to do something.
Yeah, I've got a feeling that's going to be what we look like under him, to be honest. So when he was sacked from Swansea, there was just before that, there was a great deal made about a comment that he made about the vacant West Brom job. How was it affected with the fans and the players after he did that?
I think it had a massive impact. I mean, on the day that actually started, it looked so promising in that period. We just battered QPR 3-0 at home and we'd just beaten Luton. The football we were playing was the best we'd seen under Williams. So it was really sort of the beginning of, you know, the Swansea way again, I suppose. Like, Williams is always questioned by, you know, a certain set of fans that we have. You know, we're in a bit of a culture war. You know, I won't get into it, but we are in a bit of a culture war where some people want the Swansea way, some people don't. So Williams was always questioned, but I think that had a massive impact because, I mean, you know, when you're winning games and then your manager outright goes and just is unwilling to deny any interest in the job, you know, it's very awkward. I mean, I think his position was pretty much untenable from the day that happened. And, you know, he'd lost his head and so had the fans. We went on to, after that really positive two results I just mentioned, we went on to get battered by Portsmouth 4-0. And it just went down and down and down. We lost the South Wales Derby. We got battered by pretty much any team we faced. I think Norwich beat us 5-1. So it had a massive effect on absolutely everything.
And do you think, now you've got a bit of hindsight, it was the right decision to get rid of him, or would you have given him more time if you were in charge?
I don't think we could have given him more time. I don't think it would have fixed the situation. I think, as I said, it was untenable. It was, you know, it was done. In an ideal world, he completely silences any West Brom interest. But I'm sure there's, you know, there's a lot more in that story that we'll never know, or at least we don't know right now. You know, he was one of the lowest paid managers in the league. there could have been behind the scenes problems. I'm sure his agent had a lot to play in the West Brom stuff. I don't think that would have just been him. I think he was just very naive in the situation, but we couldn't have given him any more time.
And him as a person, sort of before that all kicked off, did you feel like he'd managed to get all of the dressing room on board with his ideas, all the fans on board with the ideas?
I think so. Honestly, Luke Williams, I couldn't speak highly enough of him. I think he's a very rare breed of football manager where he's arguably too emotional. He has too much of an emotional connection. He cares too much. I think there were interviews you can go back and watch from after our games where it looked like he'd almost been crying. Like, you know, he's a man who really cares. And he's, you know, I don't know if you've seen all the stuff about him going and volunteering at Bristol Airport. Like, you know, there really isn't a man like him. And I think the players really bought into that. And the majority of fans did too.
If there was one quality that Posh can be excited about and one thing that you think he'd need to change to be a better manager, now he's joined Posh, what are the two things that you would say?
Well, I think from an outside view, obviously, Peterborough like to recruit young and sell for big prices, don't they? I think this style of play always makes young players look better. Under, you know, Graham Potter, under Russell Martin, we always sold players for large fees. You know, Dan James, 20 million. Ollie McBurney, 20 million. Flynn Downs, 10 million. And, you know, I think we probably would have had Williams had more time if everything didn't happen. I also think at its peak, his football is really exciting to watch. Like, you know, it will get you off your feet. And as I said, he is, you know, a passionate man who really cares about everything he does. You know, he's not a man who's there for the short term. He does genuinely believe in every project he goes to. In terms of one thing I would change, obviously the West Brom situation is a massive thing. I don't think he could ever do anything like that again. And I think the no month of goals is pretty massive. I think his build-up could be slightly quicker and more aggressive. In our best period, it was. But he added pace to the squad. Yeah, I regularly remember our fast wingers turning back, passing it straight back to the fullbacks and starting the whole build-up again. I don't know if you remember that Nike advert where they were like, Neymar would never do that. We had a Brazilian winger who was pretty much doing exactly what that advert depicted. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And if people wanted to hear more Swansea, tell them where they can go.
Absolutely anywhere. Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Spotify, you name it. Absolutely everywhere. Just only Swans. Sometimes it has two S's, sometimes it has one.
All right, thank you very much for doing that for us, Carwin. Every guest that we have on Up the Poshcast has to sign off with an Up the Poshcast. So I'll go first, and then if you don't mind just following on, Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Well, John, you've heard what Carwin and Tom have had to say. What are your thoughts on Luke Williams?
Yeah, I'm largely happy, lads. I think given the situation that we're in, 24th in League One, I think it's probably about as good as we could have hoped for. I think he's got championship experience. He's clearly done well in the league below us. Interesting from his interviews, I asked for high press, and the two guys both spoke about how highly they would press in both systems, which is going to be a big switch from Fergie, because I've spoken about it before. We are currently the lowest pressing team in the division. So to go from the lowest to the highest is obviously some... a high level of transition to go through. I think he fits the traditional Peterborough philosophy where attack comes before defence and we'll worry about scoring goals more than conceding them, which I think is interesting. I know from the past there are things like his short corners where he explains things and he wants the ball in play a lot, and I think it's going to be fun to watch. That doesn't mean that it's without concern, right? There's still some nagging doubts that I have, which I'm sure we'll dig into deeper. Some of them were preconceived doubts, I guess, from what I knew of him before. Some of them have emerged from the interviews that you've done and hearing a little bit more in depth about what happened at Notts County and Swansea. So overall, I'm happy. It's about as good an appointment that we could have wished for, I think. And it does feel like the right man, but I'm not without any concern. Singing from the rooftops, we're definitely staying up. I think we're going to need to see at least a couple of months before we know kind of where we lie with it.
Yeah, there was definitely some positives and negatives in those interviews, wasn't there? And on reflection, since Fergie's gone and since you brought up those stats about pressing, I just get the nagging feeling that Fergie was so lost the dressing room such a long time ago that these players are just waiting for him to go. And actually, it probably didn't really matter who we got in. I think they would have just got a tune out of the squad immediately just because they were a fresh voice. So I think for me, the fact that he plays kind of a similar style of football to Fergie, I know you've said about the high press there, John, but the amount of times Fergie said the players weren't doing what he was asking them, I can't help but feel that it was the pressing and the effort that they weren't doing for him. So I think if Luke Williams can come in and get them to do that part for him, I don't think a lot will change, to be honest. I think the style of football and all the rhythm and all the things that they supposedly did under Fergie in training, I think will all stay the same, which is probably a positive because we're not asking them to change, are we? We're asking them to put a bit more effort in. Fergie couldn't make it happen. Luke Williams should be able to. So I'm quite positive from that point of view. I suppose where I feel quite negative is both of them said that style of football isn't sustainable. And I can't help but feel that that's exactly what happened to Fergie. We had such a high in that 23-24 season. And obviously we lost quite a few key players, but I've just got this nagging feeling in my head that it wasn't the recruitment. It wasn't that we lost these key players. It was that the squad just didn't want to work for Fergie last season. We still had the same midfield, Collins, Kipriano and Randall. They were great the previous season. What happened to them? There's just nowhere near as much effort went in. Still had Ricky J. Jones. We still had Poku. Like, the squad should have done a lot better last season. And I think Fergie was the problem. I think he just lost the dressing room. And I can't help but feel that Luke Williams will eventually lose the dressing room as well. So I'm confident in the short term, I think he'll keep us up. I think we'll have an initial bounce. And then at some point, maybe halfway through next season or maybe the summer after, I think it will just go exactly the same way that they went with Fergie.
It's interesting because from what I could deduce from Fergie, from Williams, it feels like a bit of a shift in personalities. And I think it's telling that no player has come out and thanked Darren Ferguson, at least publicly. A little bit odd, and probably speaks that maybe he wasn't the most popular figure in the dressing room. I think with Williams, from the clips that I've seen, him messing around in play, like flicking players' ears in training and then giving them a hug, and he feels a little bit more new school. Fergie was very demanding, and I think the way Fergie managed is to be on top of his players, to be critical of his players, and be critical of them a lot and demand very high standards. Now, that works to a point, but I do think there is a stage as well where you kind of get to a stage where you need some positive reinforcement to go with that negative reinforcement. And I don't know how much of that the players got from Fergie. That's obviously from an outside looking in perspective. I think with Williams, it feels like he will be closer to the players, a little bit more buddy-buddy, pally-pally. And I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing at this stage. I also was interested to hear about the amount of video work that he did and the intensity of his team meetings and things like that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I know Fergie did do video work, but whether he did it at the intensity of Luke Williams, I think is highly doubtful, right? There's a, 15-year age gap between them, something like that. Williams is slightly newer school than Fergie. And I just think he may, with this group, that kind of new bouncier character may fit him well. My biggest concerns is the fact that the Notts County fan said about their wing-backs being absolutely rapid. And while Kyoso is quick, I don't know if I'd put him in the rapid category. And certainly at left-back, we don't have a quick left-back. Mills is pretty slow, but a good crosser of the ball. If he goes and plays 4-2-3-1, we don't have the wingers. You know, we're talking about really quick wingers and playing with really high pressing forwards. Well, Morgan's weakness really is his physicality, not physicality, but his stamina. And even Fergie came out and said he needs to work off the ball. And then your two wingers, Frith, I don't think, is lightning quick. He's quick at accelerating, but over sort of a length of time, a length of distance, he's not lightning. Lisby is probably the only one that you'd class as really quick, and even Hayes is sort of a intricate dribbler when he comes back, more than a runner. And then you've got Oddo, who isn't quick, is just, again, his strengths really lie in, well, I'm not sure what they lie in, but certainly not pace. So I don't know if the squad fit is perfect for him. So there is that. And certainly when the Notts County fans said, well, you need to have a significantly better team than the rest of the division to make this work, that rang a little bit of alarm bells, because you're like, while I think the squad's better than 24th, I don't think we're a dominant force at this level like we were in 03-04 when we had technically the best team in the league.
Yeah, I have to admit, I was surprised when Tom said that, because when I was making my notes, I just assumed that Notts County fell apart after he'd left. But by the sounds of it, they were going that way anyway. And their stats look really good in the National League. Like, you can't deny that. But when you look at their squad, it was just levels above everyone else. And he even admitted it, didn't he? He said that the other teams that they were playing just weren't good enough to score past them. They gave him plenty of opportunities. And it sounded very much like, you know, when you break the system in FIFA, you find a way of like how to score a goal, and then everyone sort of does it and they score like 10 goals a match. That through ball he was talking about to Jody Jones on the left-hand side to make a cut back to Macaulay Langstaff, it just felt like it was one of them like game-breaking tactics that they used to do every game, just to basically score 3 or 4 goals every single game. We're not going to have to do that in League One. That's not something you could do in League One, especially with the squad, like you say. Jody Jones was levels above everyone in League Two last season. He must have been insane in the National League playing in that Notts County side.
I actually think the manager he reminds me of a little bit is Ange Postecoglou, where when he had that dominant team with Celtic, they were so dominant in Scotland, and they just completely blitzed the league, really, and won every competition available. And then obviously he came to England, and you saw him with Tottenham, and you can debate whether that was a success or not. And winning the Europa League certainly was, but they finished 17th in the Premier League. And there was definitely flaws in his system that were then exposed at Forest when he had an even weaker team. And I do have concerns around whether Williams will coach the dirty stuff, you know, the fundamentals of League One football, set piece training, and just the horrible basics that maybe, I don't know. They're important to winning matches, but are they important to Luke Williams? I don't know the answer to that. I think the one good thing with Williams is he has a 14th place finish in the Championship on his CV, which is higher than Darren Ferguson has ever achieved at that level. And the fact that he was picking up good results with regularity and battering good teams with that Swansea team is highly encouraging. If you can do it in the Championship, you can do it in League One. The concern, and it is a concern, is whether his demanding style of play will work with the squad that we have. This squad is very much unproven in terms of their quality. We all think they're better than the worst team in the league, but was it the players? Was it Ferguson? What is the reason we're down here? I think we're about to find out. And given that it's not a back-to-basics approach in the sense of a Steve Evans, not that I wanted Steve Evans here, this is a more demanding style of football. So I don't think we're going to be grinding out results. We're going to be reliant on this team having quality if we are going to get the points that we need to stay up.
Yeah, I thought going into that Swansea interview that they were going to talk sort of negatively about Luke Williams and his style of play. But he seemed to be quite positive, and had it not been for that West Brom thing, I think they probably would have kept him. There was a lot of things that he was talking about tactically, though, that, like you say, I'm not sure is gonna work for Posh. You know, like not scoring a goal for a month, like we can't do that, can we? We can't go through that. And so much of what he was saying just reminded me of what Fergie was trying to do last season, and making things work, you know, like inverting the wing backs and then putting them back on the wing and replacing the striker for a fast winger. I mean, he would have loved having Ricky here, wouldn't he? He would have loved that development of Ricky being a winger into a striker that could hold the ball up. And I agree completely with what you were saying about the wingers earlier. our wingers aren't fast enough. I do think he'll like Lisby. I think he'll like his work rate and his pressing. I don't know if he can do it for 90 minutes. Jimmy J. Morgan can't play 90 minutes as it is. I don't think he's going to be able to give the high press that he wants. Harry Leonard would be a good player to play up top in the Langstaff role if you want him to get the goals, but then you're relying on the cutbacks and, like you said, the wingbacks. It's a lot of pressure on Harley Mills. I think had Adebisi not got injured, he would have been the perfect player to play on that left-hand side because he has the delivery, he has the pace, but I've got a feeling that he's going to be trying someone else at left back. I think Hayes would be really good in that role. I think once he comes back from injury, I think that's probably where he'll end up. Right side, I actually don't mind Kyoto there. I think he'll be fine. Centre backs, you kind of, if he's going to play three at the back, which I think he's going to have to begin with, I worry about Tom Lee's and Dave Okagbray's ball playing abilities. I think Nevitt's okay. I think O'Connor's going to thrive in this system. I actually think Sam Hughes will be okay as well. I didn't mind his ball playing last season, but it's the others that I'm slightly concerned about. One misplaced pass and all of a sudden we're running 50 yards towards our own goal. The one thing I was very excited about is the it's what Carwin said about the midfielders. He said there's one sort of playmaker that was asking for the ball and was playing the risky passes forward, and there was one that was sort of doing all the pressing and the hard work and the tackling. And just in my head immediately, I was thinking, well, that's Collins and Keller. So I'm really looking forward to them forming a partnership in those in that pivot and just sort of everyone playing around them. It's a big test for Collins because he's not as progressive as we'd like. He often plays backwards and sideways, but that's potentially what Fergie wants him to do. And maybe that's the key to success is just simply Luke Williams getting him and saying, I want you to turn around and play a ball forward every now and then. You never know. We might well start scoring some more goals.
Yeah, I think the midfield is almost perfectly designed for him in the sense that you've got Collins who can pass and potentially even Garber who can pass and play that role. But Garber, Collins, Keller, Woods, they can all run, right? They can all press. I think they'll be fine in transition into that style of play. And I actually think that's the area of the squad that probably is most suited. I think Harry Leonard will be fine. You mentioned him, Lods. I think if you're looking for a pressing forward, what's the one thing that's really stood out about Harry Leonard so far? It's probably his work rate. He does really put in a shift and his fitness levels look good. It's the centre-backs that concern me because even if we play a two, it's very hard to find someone that can play with Tom O'Connor. I think Sam Hughes, when he comes back, you're probably right, Lods, just about gets away with it. But if you're playing a demanding ball-playing system, and I know Fergie did, but this is even more demanding by the sounds of things, Lees and Okagwe, you've got to have big question marks over whether they'll ever be in the squad. You might even say Mendonca is a better fit because he is better on the ball than those two. Nevitt, the line's going to be higher. If we're going to a high-pressing system, the line is going to be a lot higher than what he's played in so far, and his lack of pace could be exposed despite him being good on the ball. So there's concerns there with me. So the only two that I really think, okay, yeah, they sound like they would be decent fits at the minute are O'Connor and Hughes, which when one of them's injured for another couple of months is not ideal, especially when defence has been a weakness of Luke Williams' managerial career so far. You do have to raise some concerns that we're building a structure around him with a defence that on paper, and we're not seeing it on the grass yet, but on paper looks slightly ill-fitting for what he would ideally want.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And I have to say, I'm glad that we've got Alex Bass because we've spoken about how high his starting position is and how good he is at rushing out of his goal and claiming those through balls. Had we had a goalkeeper that sort of stayed on their line, I think Bilo wasn't very good at coming out very often. If we had that kind of goalkeeper, I think we'd really struggle against them through balls that came behind our slow defence. There's one thing I did ask of both of Tom and Carwin that I actually cut out the interviews in the end, and that's around player development. Obviously, there's big emphasis at Posh about developing players and playing youth players and young players and bringing them through. But neither of them had any examples of Luke Williams doing that at their clubs. I don't know if that's something to be concerned about. I don't know. I mean, Tom did say about Notts County, they had to pull some funding out of their academy, so it probably wasn't the greatest of time to promote youth. But Swansea are well known for selling players for lots of money, and Carwin pulled some examples out, didn't he? Ollie McBurney. And I do wonder if Luke Williams perhaps doesn't want to risk playing the young players. Like Mendonca's a great example. He hasn't got much Football League experience, but he would be perfect playing in that system. Is Luke Williams cautious bringing these young players through, and maybe he doesn't want to risk throwing them in the deep end?
I think ultimately he's going to have to here, isn't he? There isn't really a way he can make up the defence without playing a Nevitt or a Mendonca or a without it fitting in. That's the Peterborough model. Harley Mills is going to be his left back. So it's really adapt or die in that sense, I suppose. What I would say, though, is I am, and I think it's important that we're getting to the end of this now, and I think it's important that I stress that I am positive about this appointment. I think it gives us a better chance of staying up than with Darren Ferguson. I'm not saying Luke Williams is a better manager than Darren Ferguson. I don't know that. What I am saying is I think this had run its course with Darren Ferguson. I don't think the squad were listening to his instructions, or maybe listening isn't the right term, but they weren't. There was certainly a disconnect between what he wanted and what was going on the pitch. And it feels like the right time. So I would give Darragh some credit there, to be honest. I think he's got a good manager here. You see Plymouth fans, you see Reading fans. They're both quite envious of the manager that we've selected. So Darragh's taken a lot of stick recently. From this podcast at times as well. But I think he's done well to act, get a manager that fits the mould on paper of what Posh want. And I don't really think there can be too much negativity around this appointment. You can have your doubts, you can have your concerns. We've spoken about it on this. But on paper, of the available managers, I don't think there was too many more outstanding candidates than what we've got.
Yeah. I think we're going to hear a lot of positive things coming out of the club in the next week or so. And I think he's just immediately going to win the fans over. I think everyone's going to be fully on board. I think there's going to be a real good vibe, good energy. And I think that's going to carry on all the way to the end of the season. And like you say, John, we can't really do anything else but be positive. And hats off to Dara for getting the right candidate. I think we'll end it there. So for everyone that's listened, thank you for tuning in. How do you feel about the Luke Williams appointment? Let us know in the comments. Remember to like and subscribe, and make sure you tune in on Friday night to watch Countdown to Kickoff, where we preview the FA Cup game against Cardiff. Up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast. Up the Luke Williams. His style of football is very demanding, and there's question marks over whether this squad has the quality. I'm going to need to do this again, aren't I?